The Lord be with you.
And
also a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the nether world shall not prevail against it. I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord. One of the things you realize as you get older is that faith is a very tricky thing. We know it's difficult to describe faith. What is it? I've said many times that faith is the awareness, recognition, and acceptance that God has shown himself to you in a very personal way through Jesus Christ. And in showing himself to you, you have found him to be the answer to the questions of life that are most important to you. And that's faith. And most people think that's the end of things. You know, oftentimes our Protestant brethren talk about simply making the profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and once now you're saved, you're always saved. That's never been the Catholic position. Professing faith in Jesus Christ is not the end of the journey. You're just getting warmed up. We're just getting started on this journey. And there's no more interesting journey in the New Testament than the journey of Peter's faith. He had the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat, usually within minutes. It didn't take him long. You find out just how human St. Peter is, how weak that faith is, how fragile that faith is. And at the same time, when he trusts in the Lord, how strong this faith can become. Peter is very interesting when you look at him that way, that his faith in many ways is supposed to parallel our faith. Our faith is like Peter's, because the Lord asks us that same question. Who am I to you? Am I God? Am I just a human person? The C.S. Lewis says, Jesus is one of three things. He's either the Lord, he's a liar, or he's a lunatic. Take your pick. I say he's the Lord, but you got plenty of people today that say he's either a liar or a lunatic. And I would say, well, they're probably more of the lunatics if you can't see Christ for who he is. It seems to be so clear. Because God comes to us in human ways. He comes to us through human means. We don't see the skies opening or the waters parting. God comes to us through our senses. God comes to us in our minds and our thoughts and our hearts. He shows himself to us. And in showing himself to us, we know it's not a figment of our imagination. It's not something we could ever have imagined ourselves. It's truly a gift. But that gift, like anything else, is going to have to be used. And we have to ask ourselves a question today that Peter is going to be asking the rest of his life. Is my faith a living faith? Or is it a stagnant faith? Or is it a dead faith? A dead faith simply means, okay, I believe it. That's the end of the story. I don't think anything else of it. I don't spend much time thinking about God. I don't spend much time worrying about life after death or the meaning of life's questions or the fact that God is controlling anything. That's pretty much a dead faith. Okay, I said it. Next question, please. Not a real good way to go. There's another way, and this is a way that's often very common among people, and that's a stagnant faith. A stagnant faith is one which says, I have reached a certain point in my life where I now have enough information about God and the world not to worry about things anymore. I've reached my saturation level. I cannot handle any more doctrinal, theological, or spiritual input, thank you. That's it. My head is full. And usually for most people, it gets full about the age of 20. Okay? Some people 17. But most of the time, I know all that there is to know about God and all this. I said, really? That's what they think. That's a stagnant faith. And there are many people today I see that are my age in their 40s or older in their 50s and 60s, have the faith of a 17 or an 18-year-old. And that's not a good thing. Usually we think to have a young faith is a good thing. But you're not facing the issues at 17 or 18 that you're facing at 50 or 60. You don't have the kind of life experience at 17 or 18 that you have at 50 or 60. Hopefully along the way you've developed how to use these tools to make your faith grow. Because this is what Peter's running into. How do we see it working in Peter's life? It's very simple. You know, a couple weeks ago, Peter was in the boat. And Jesus was just moseying along on the Lake of Galilee. They didn't know who it was. Jesus says, well, it's me. And Peter says, well, Lord, if it's you, get me out on this water. He starts walking out. He doesn't go very far before he starts thinking, never a good thing for Peter to do, and realizes this wind is awful hard, and he starts sinking. He had enough faith to get out in the water. He just didn't have enough faith to stay out there for a while because he began to recognize there's too much other stuff going on for me to really keep my focus on Jesus. And now today we have this moment of brilliance in St. Peter. True brilliance. Who are you? You are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. And Jesus says, now Peter, don't get a big head about this. You didn't come to this conclusion out of your own mind. This was revealed to you. And this gift now that you have been given, this gift of faith, makes you now the rock, that center from which now everything in the church, everything in this mystery of the body of Christ is going to grow. But yet we see not too long after this, what happens? We'll hear about it next week. Peter says, yes, I am the Messiah, but the Son of God is going to be rejected, crucified, and on the third day be raised up. And here we go. Peter's already full of himself already. Jesus, now, you know, I told you who you are. You're the Son of God. I got that right. I'm one for one. Now, he says, now, Jesus, don't be talking about this death and resurrection stuff because you don't know what you're talking about here. Who are we to tell God what he's doing? And that's exactly what Peter did. Thrill of victory, agony of defeat. And we know how defeated it was. Get behind me, Satan. He went from being a saint to Satan at the snap of a finger. That's how our faith is. We get full of ourselves. We think we have a great faith. And now, all of a sudden, we're going to start telling God how we're going to run our life. We're going to give God directions on the world. He's never asked my advice, and I'm grateful he hasn't, because I would have really messed it up. But we're always willing to give God advice. Thanks be to God, he's not always willing to take it. But that happens. And we see Peter moving back and forth over and over again, arguing over who of the apostles is the greatest. And then finally, Peter reaching this moment of saying, Lord, you will not die. I will die with you. I will give my life for you. And Jesus says, now, Peter, don't get ahead of yourself here. Because before the cock crows, you will three times deny me. I will never do that, Lord. And yet he does it. And Jesus looks at him and the cock crows after the third denial. The person that he spent his life with, the person he said was the Son of God, I do not know the man. How many times have we done that in our life? How many times have we been faced with an issue in our life of having our Christian faith challenged or condemned, and we just keep quiet? We don't say a word. That's another way that it happens. And we see at the end of that, Peter being truly sorry that his faith that he thought was so strong because he was relying on his own was so weak because he wasn't relying on Christ. And then we finally get to the end of John's gospel, of Peter seeing Jesus at the Sea of Tiberias. And Jesus asking three questions. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me more than these? Lord, you know I love you more than these. Feed my lambs. Three times he asks. Says three times his faith needs to be strengthened. But that was only three for St. Peter. How many times does our faith need to be strengthened? Every time I believe we have a crisis in our life, a major decision that we have to face, a moral decision we have to make in our family or in our own personal life, Jesus is saying in another way, do you love me? Do you love me? And if we say, yes, Lord, then the response is going to be, Lord, your will be done. But oftentimes as well, Lord, yes, but you don't understand what's going on. Or yes, Lord, but you don't know what I know. He knows more than we could ever think of. Well, that's what we'll say. But we are faced with that every day. And to have a living faith means we recognize every action of our life has to do with the relationship with God. And a living faith is an exciting faith. I defy anyone to tell me they are bored with their faith if they're living it every day. Because every day is an adventure. From the time you get up to the time you go to bed, God is working in you and through you and for you. And someone else is working against you. And our faith, like that faith of Peter, needs to be strong. But it also needs to know its weaknesses. And we need to know our weaknesses. All of us need to know those temptations that get the best of us. Our pride, our lust, our selfishness, all those things we got to keep in mind, because that's where our faith is going to be tested. And we have to say, Lord, strengthen me in my weakness. Comfort me in my sorrow. Heal me in my wounds. Strengthen my faith. Strengthen the faith you have shown me, that I now want to live every day actively and positively, especially when there's crosses and joys in life. At the same time, Lord, I have faith in you. May our faith be like that of Peter's. Because, yes, it's true, Peter's faith is the rock on which the church is built. But every family is built on a rock of faith, the rock of faith of the parents. Every child's faith is built on the rock of their own faith, of trusting in God and knowing the way, the path of Christ, and having the courage every day to live it, and the grace of the Holy Spirit to know how real it is. And so we come to hear the Word of God, to be challenged in that faith, to recognize that we have not always done the best we can. We're all a work in progress. And we realize that besides giving us His Word to work in our mind and in our heart, He's going to give us His body and blood to nourish our soul, to clear our mind of the stuff we got going on, so that the body and blood of Christ can put Him front and center in our heart and keep Him there. Because when He is there, we don't need directions. When He is there, we're not going to be lost. When he is there, we're going to know just how alive our faith is, because we're going to say, Lord, everything I face, every joy is more joyful because you are with me. Every sorrow I encounter is lightened because you are with me. And every chance I have to profess that faith will be stronger because I know that faith in my heart is true. I know that it is real. And I know that it will not end if I keep my focus on you. Oh, may that body and blood of the Lord keep that focus on the Lord, that we won't be abandoned, and that while we'll have the ups and downs that Peter has, in the end, we'll be ready to follow Christ, follow him to the cross, but then also follow him to the glory of the resurrection.